James White, you know, he's everything you want in a teammate and a football player, and dependable, consistent, durable, the best attitude, brings it every day, and we just kept going to him.
Air It Out is on the air.
James White, a Super Bowl record, 14 catches, 3 touchdowns, including the walk-off touchdown in overtime.
That wasn't a catch, that was a run.
I didn't say that was a catch. He had 14 catches. He had
14 catches.
3 total touchdowns, including the walk-off. The
game-winning touchdown.
Walk-off. White with a walk-off. Sounds better than the game-winning
touchdown. If anything, and I don't even think it works there.
Okay,
but
fair
anyway.
Enough. This is Air It Out on the Fan. I'm Marcus. That's Bill, and that's Rookie,
yeah,
and we are joined now by...
touchdown this year. I'm going to be all over it.
Lambeau Leap coming. Evan Flood, 247sports.com. He covers the Badgers, and... we got to talk about yet another win for Wisconsin. They're going to be moving up in the polls because 6 top 10 teams lost in college basketball over the weekend. The Badgers won yet again. Keep sleeping on them, but they have 20 wins already. But first, we got to start with James White. What a performance. Evan, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Thanks for having me.
I mean, James White, what were you thinking last night? Did you ever watch him in college and think...
is that the same guy?
Like, yeah. Is this a potential Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, that thought never crossed my mind, but I think by the third quarter, I'm starting to think, you know, man, this guy could really win Super Bowl MVP. But you know, I think the whole time, everyone in the back of their minds are hearing, you know they're going to give it to Tom Brady no matter what, which sure. I thought was, I don't want to say as far as ridiculous, but I mean, you look at how that game went, even when New England was down 28-3. White was the only thing working for them, and, you know, Brady wasn't playing that well. And, you know, even when he got things going, you know, it was James that really sparked them, I thought, with a couple big plays in the red zone. And not only that, but he was getting into the end zone as well. You know, 3 touchdowns, got them on the board first in the second quarter, I think it was. And then, of course, the 2-point conversion, that was big. They don't win without that. And he ties the game with a touchdown. And then, as you mentioned, the walk-off game winner, you knew they were going to give it to Tom Brady, but, you know, maybe I'm looking at it too hard with the Badger goggles on, but I didn't think it was anything, you know, Brady really did that helped White. It's not like he was making these miraculous throws. It was, you know, short little dinky routes that White turned little games into big ones. And, of course, you know, those touchdowns were huge. I don't think there's any way they win that game without White.
Well, you know, Evan, what they say of White is the system running back. You know, get him in the right in the right system and watch him play.
He kills it.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue with the choice that you give it to Brady. He did throw for a record completions and passing yards. I get that. He played well.
I always give it to the QB.
They always do. He started the game. He was not playing well at all. Even the look on his face, it was like, who is this guy and what has he done with Tom Brady? And I think... Evan's right. A lot of dink and dunks, and James White made a lot of it happen after the catch.
As I said before, boys, I'm just happy to see a Badger running back finally amount to something in the National Football League.
Harsh. Hey, Melvin Gordon could end up being pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
And don't be so quick to give up on Monte Ball. I'm kidding. You can give up on Monte Ball. Evan Flood joins us, 247sports.com. So yet another win for the basketball team. Hard-fought win over Indiana. Wasn't always pretty.
Yeah, no, you know, I think... we're starting to wonder, you know, where this Wisconsin offense has gone over the last 3 games. I think, you know, you're happy that the Badgers won and that they're finding ways to win without necessarily lighting up the scoreboard. But I believe this is the 3rd straight game where they've been held to 40% or less shooting from the field. You know, I think it's just a combination of things right now. I thought they've been getting good shots the last 3 games. They're just not falling. Another thing is, you know, I think teams are really starting to bury the post inside and kind of try and not let Ethan Happ and Nigel Hayes beat them on the interior. You know, Happ was 8-for-10, which is obviously a, you know, very good shooting percentage for anybody, but to hold him to 10 looks, I think was key for slowing Wisconsin down. But, you know, last 3 games here, we're starting to see Wisconsin's offense sputtering, but, you know, to give them credit, I mean, they've kind of held their hat on the defensive end because they don't win without putting up some solid numbers on the defensive end of the floor yesterday.
Is this a trend, though, to be concerned about, you know, when you get to tournament time, let's say, you can mask some of your deficiencies maybe during the regular season?
I think yes and no. I think part of it is you just have to, you know, look at it and say, you know, this is the Big Ten. I mean, teams are more physical. Teams are going to start to know you the second time around. Obviously, this was Indiana's second time against Wisconsin. Obviously, they played them year in and year out. I think there's something to say with just there's a familiarity, and Wisconsin's not necessarily going to be able to make it look easy, especially now that they've kind of got that target on their back as kind of being the top dog. So I think, you know, when you get into tournament play and then there's that unfamiliarity with teams, I think we could start to see it open up for teams who don't necessarily know what to expect with Happ, Hayes, and Koenig. But, you know, yeah, you're right. I think, you know, if you look at what teams have done to Wisconsin lately and really forced, you know, Bronson, Koenig, Zach Showalter, and others to kind of beat them, I think that's going to be the challenge for them in March is, you know, when Wisconsin matches up against a team with, you know, physical post play who can match them with size up front, you know, can the guards kind of steal the show, take over, and make plays? And it's not just about knocking down three-pointers. You know, Wisconsin was 4 of 17 from beyond the arc against Indiana. But, you know, you look at it, kind of what went wrong with them offensively. It was like when Indiana took away the post, the ball, you know, it kept moving, but, you know, I thought it was really stagnant offense from Wisconsin. They kind of just passed the ball on the perimeter and then got down late into the shot clock and were forced to take a lot of tough looks. It wasn't until I thought Zach Showalter really started getting aggressive. You know, he didn't necessarily score a lot of points, but he got into the teeth of the defense, and I think that started to open up Wisconsin in the second half as they shot almost 46% from the field, you know, shaking off a 34% effort in the first half.
Evan Flood, 24/7 Sports, joining us today. But don't you think, Evan, though, they got Indiana into some foul trouble. They got to the free throw line quite a bit. So even though Happ only had 10 field goal attempts, he got to the line seven times too. So that was, you know, that was good. He only made 4 of them, but that's still pretty good, though.
That was positive because Wisconsin struggled from the free throw line so much, and this was kind of the game I thought most people dreaded because, you know, the fouls racked up on both sides. So you said, yeah, you know, here's kind of that free throw shooting contest you didn't want Wisconsin in, but, you know, fortunately for them, they knocked down 74% of their free throw attempts. They came in shooting just over 65% on the season. And this was their, best mark from the free throw line since December 27th against Rutgers, which was the Big Ten opener. So it's been a while since they shot above 70% from the line. So, you know, hopefully, you know, for Wisconsin, who's going to need those free throws, you know, and just the amount of close games we're seeing them play lately, hopefully this is a trend in the right direction because they have not been very good at the line, you know, especially Nigel Hayes, and he stepped up and knocked down 7 of 8 on
right.
Sunday.
Hey, how was the crowd at the Kohl Center? It seemed a little quiet, even when Indiana got to 3 late in the second half and, you know, the game was still very much in question. It didn't seem like the crowd was as loud as I've heard them.
Yeah, you know, it was one of the better atmospheres of the season. Okay. And, you know, there were a couple plays when it really got rocking. But yeah, I've kind of called this, you know, the Final Four effect the last 2 years. You know, you've kind of seen the Kohl Center crowds die down. Now, there hasn't been a high number of just huge games. We're talking about top 10, maybe top 15 battles over the past 2 years. But, you know, the Kohl Center kind of hasn't been what it had, what it has in terms of atmosphere over the past couple of years. And I kind of call that the Final Four effect. I think people, you know, the regular season, I don't think means as much to people. And, you know, everyone's kind of got their eyes on March. And what you can do from there. You know, there have been times this season where the place has gotten rocking, and even last season, you know, when they beat Michigan State at home and kind of got that first win that started their run, you know, that was kind of a trademark Kohl Center atmosphere. But, yeah, you know, it hasn't necessarily been this year, you know, what we've seen in the past, you know, when there's a big game or really any home game. You know, there are points, you know, you know, had that alley-oop dunk off the inbounds. You know, then the place kind of got really fired up. But, you know, for a full 40 minutes, you know, it hasn't been there. And, you know, I just kind of attribute that to being in 2 Final Fours and winning a Big Ten title. I think, you know, people are kind of looking ahead and necessarily, you know, the importance on the regular season isn't necessarily there when, you know, you've kind of been there, done that nationally, I think.
Well, I agree with you. And I think that's a it's interesting because it's the tournament has taken off and has gotten so big, and this is really a tournament sport now. I mean, everything, nothing really matters until, and it's unfortunate because it's taken the focus off of some goals that you can reach along the way, and you know, Big Ten titles and so forth. But you're right. I think that's exactly what it is. It's unfortunate, I think.
Yeah, and but I think they will bring it here in a couple weeks when Maryland comes to town, assuming the Terps don't fall off. You know, that game could decide the Big Ten title. I would expect that's kind of one of your trademark atmospheres of the Kohl Center, where for 40 minutes, you know, it's just yelling, screaming. The ups and downs of the game, I think, will keep fans interested. But, yeah, I think, you know, we're still waiting for that one performance where, you know, the student section is just in the opponent's ear for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you walk out of the Kohl Center kind of with your ears ringing. You know, it has been a while since I felt that.
So maybe a quiet year at the Kohl Center. And quietly, the Badgers did win their 20th game of the season with that win over Indiana, their seventh straight win overall. And probably going to be climbing in the polls because six top 10 teams lost on Saturday. How high are they going to climb, Evan?
You know, it's tough to say because, you know, I think we talked about last week, you know, Wisconsin's resume might not compare to the other top 10 teams in the country. But, you know, I think they should be around seven or eight when the next polls come out. I wouldn't expect a huge jump just because I don't think, you know, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think any of the top 10 suffered any really devastating losses that just kind of shook them up or, you know, made them maybe look less strong than what they were coming in. But, you know, Wisconsin's resume, I think, you know, when you put it up against a lot of the teams in the top 10, it still kind of lacks some powerful wins. They got some chances coming up here. They got Northwestern at home on Sunday. They got Maryland in a week after that. So I think, you know, if they can take those two games, then I think you start talking about Wisconsin as a top five threat, assuming they don't stumble along the way. But, you know, I wouldn't move them up too high after a win over Indiana, because even though the Badgers, you know, have kind of avoided being upset, you know, really all season, I think, you know, the resume, you still got to say, you know, who have they beaten thus far? And, you know, we're still kind of waiting for some of those signature wins for this team.
Badgers next game at Nebraska on Thursday night right here on The Fan. That's Evan Flood, 247sports.com. We'll talk to you next Monday, Evan.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. You know, interesting, he mentions you're looking for some of those signature wins. Really, they only have one potential signature win on the schedule right now, and that's Maryland. If you're talking about schedule playing into seeding or anything like that, you know, Northwestern isn't a pushover. That's a
tournament,
a big
game
coming up, but if you beat Northwestern, is anybody going to go, that's a signature win? I mean, if you're looking for signature wins, they only have one opportunity left, and that's probably Maryland.
When they beat Syracuse early in the season, but Syracuse is down this year, that's not
everybody
typical.
Else looks at them and says, if we beat Wisconsin, that's a signature win. That's where they are right now. They're
right,
you know, at the top of the heap.
It's just because the games they've lost make sense. Like at Creighton, when they were full strength early in the season, North Carolina neutral court, at Purdue, no harm in any of those losses. But then on the flip side, they're just beating who they're supposed to beat and losing to the top of the cream of the crop.
I mean, the ranked teams that they've played, they lost to Creighton was number 22 at the time when they lost. North Carolina was number 4 when they lost. Syracuse was number 22 when they won. Indiana, the first time around, was number 25 when they won. Purdue was number 20 when they lost. And there you go. That's it.
All right, well, we have to take a timeout. We're up against the clock. Matt Ryan did not win the Super Bowl, but he did win the MVP award. That was not a surprise, but the voting was. I don't get it. This is Air It Out on The Fan.